everybody. Welcome to the show. You know where you are. Expert Talk with me, Tego. And you know how I love to do. I love bringing experts from all over the world talking about subjects that we're all very close to or we need to be. And one of the things you hear a lot from me is about fear. You hear a lot about your mindset. You hear a lot about getting beyond your own limits. Today, we have somebody coming on that's going to go into all of that and may have the magical solution to what you've been looking for. What does that mean? Today, Michael Johnson is coming to the show. He's going to talk to us about magic, maybe, but he's definitely going to talk to us about this word we hear everywhere, mindset. What does it mean? Why is it important? Sit right there. We'll be right back. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
I appreciate you being on, man. I mean, you're Mr. Magic Johnson. Now, for me, Magic Johnson has always meant basketball, has always meant, you know, one-on-ones with Michael Jordan. I mean, those were the days where you just sat at the end of your seat and went,
Showtime, baby.
Showtime. And now you're doing this Showtime with your business. So right. Let's talk about why I keep referencing the word magic. I mean, you're magical, but the word magic means something really special to you.
Well, it started off really simple, and mostly it was the other kids teasing me. I played basketball in high school, and there were a few of us that had the same initials. And so they made me actually put all three of my initials, M-A-J. And so I had that on my bag. And the other guys on the team thought it would be real funny to actually tease me about it staying Magic. And since my last name was Johnson, they would always go, "Hey, Magic Johnson." And it was more that they were teasing me because I really wasn't that good. But you know, it was during the Showtime era, and I lived in Albuquerque, where we basically were Lakers fans. I mean, we were the place where a lot of the Lakers had vacation homes. And Michael Cooper would come and do basketball camps over the summer. So we were hardcore Laker fans. So since I was young, that was the case. So that was how it started. But later on in life, because it kind of stuck and some people would call me Magic and just kind of tease, and then it wasn't teasing anymore. And then it was like, "Hey, what's up, Magic?" And so then when I started creating my company, it was like, "Hey, let's do magic." And since I'm working on mindset a lot and working on people a lot, it was Magic for Life. So it was the natural progression to get to where we are. And then it ultimately turned into basically a framework and an idea of belief, right? We want to move, right? So the M for magic is all about movement and motivation. We've got to get moving. We got to get the engine rolling. And okay. Then the A is for alignment. We've got to allow ourselves to get in alignment so that we can move. And then the J is for the journey, right? We've got to get in and be able to be on the journey in the moment, every minute of the journey, not in the future, not in the past, but right now. And then we move on into that I, and that I is from the inside out. We want to do things from the inside out, not from the outside in. The outside world tends to push a lot on us, and we've got to figure out how to be inside out. And lastly, we want to be able to create our world. And by doing those things, we are actually taking part in creating our world every day, every minute, and right now. And so that's kind of what magic has turned into through the years. And it's turned into sort of that framework that we operate from and live by.
You know, I almost cut you off and just completely shut down the interview because you said you were a Laker fan. And you know, I'm from Chicago. I am totally, you know, the Bulls through and through. And I'm going, "Oh no, we got to go," click. But I stuck around. I had to, you know, and I was going to ask you what magic stands for. So you already answered that. So what I would love to ask you now is, you talk about mindset a lot. you know, and we hear it a lot on the internet. It's becoming that keyword to marketing and business and all of that. But I don't think a lot of people truly understand what is meant by mindset, or how to, that they even have control of that. And they're just kind of going with the flow. Can you break mindset down for me?
Here's the thing. When we started into this journey of mindset and personal development, I got in about 20 some odd years ago and started into the industry. If I said to somebody 20 years ago, hey, I'm a life coach, which I tried to avoid because you would get the, you're that guy, you know, and it was sort of a laughing topic. And nowadays everybody's a life coach, right? You know, everybody's got something to give. In fact, marketers all over the world think that they're all life coaches. They're all mindset coaches because they had their coaches. And so I appreciate it. I appreciate that they understand the value of being able to get into the mind and say, hey, that's the thing in the way. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people teaching mindset that really are just regurgitating information. We call that the telephone game. You remember the telephone game. It doesn't last long. And when I play it with my family at dinner, it doesn't usually make it around the table of six before it's messed up. So I went back and studied and dug in. And one of the things about mindset that became so important for me was understanding emotions. And so I dug into the idea and concept of emotions. And as I got deeper into it, I realized and started to understand that we do everything to feel something. And usually it's simple. We don't have to make it as complicated as it often becomes, but we do everything to feel good. We think, hey, I want to make $1 million. Why? Because you think you're going to feel better than you do if you have $1 million. You say, hey, I want to go to Disneyland. Why? Because you think you're going to feel better if you go to Disneyland. And what I want to shoot for and what I'm working for and my goal with people is to get to a point of unconditional appreciation for what is going on in the now. And this unconditional appreciation allows us to start to feel good from the inside out. And that is really the mindset shift. Now, there are lots of little things and tools and this and that and habits and stuff that we can do to be able to help our own mindset. And since we're all as unique as our thumbprint, we have to learn all of those different things. But the true core of it is how you feel. The emotion that you're having, you can actually learn to turn it on. And if you can learn to turn it on, you know, I love computers. I love programming. It's just like binary. If you can turn it on, you can turn it off. And that's huge. Ones. That's it. So if you can learn to turn on your emotions, turn off your emotions, that seems a little crude to some people. They don't want it to be so simple. And it isn't actually that simple, but it actually is that simple. When you practice an emotion and when you work on an emotion, you actually start to gain control of it, which is why people that jump out of airplanes are no longer afraid of being thrown or jumped out of an airplane. It doesn't faze them anymore because they just do it all the time. And now what they've done is they've practiced the fear thing, and it's no longer a fear thing because now they know how to turn it on and turn it off. Mm-hmm. So just like with anything that you practice, a free throw, thank you, Magic Johnson, just like with anything, you can practice it and get better at it. You can practice and get better at feeling good. You can practice and get better at mindset. The mindset shifts that people are looking for, especially in marketing and business, the mindset shifts that they're looking for is they're looking to feel better about what they're doing, about where they're going, about how they feel on a regular daily basis. And they think the money will do it, the product will do it, the spouse will do it, the boat will do it. But none of those things will do it because they only last temporarily. The only thing that's going to do it is them.
Yeah, but I hear all that. And I agree with you. You know, I've learned over the years that you're right. But my question is, you know, we're taught pretty much from birth that the grass is always greener on the other side. You know, never mind where we're standing can be beautiful.
Right.
But the neighbor's grass is just a little bit greener on the other side. So we're always trying to get over there. You know, that's where utopia is. That's where happiness is. It's never, you know, right here with you. It brings up an old story that somebody told me years and years ago about an old cat and a kitten, and the kitten's chasing his tail. The old cat's just watching him do it from the couch. And the kitten looks up and says, "Yo, dude, if happiness is in your tail, why aren't you chasing your tail?" He's like, "When you get to be my age, you realize if happiness really is in your tail, you take it everywhere you go. So you don't need to chase it." And that's pretty much how I've been. You know, as I got older, I realized, what am I chasing? I need to work where I am and harvest this right here. But as a creative and as an entrepreneur, we have a hard time with that. You know, we have a hard time to stick to the course. So how do you get people to realize that? Because it took me getting beaten ahead a few times to realize that and realize they need to work within, which is what I'm hearing from you, and stop worrying about Bob's lawn over there, you know? Bob, yeah. It's artificial turf anyway. Once you get over there, it's like, man, that's not even real. You know, don't worry about that. How do you get people to see that?
You know, it's rough because we live in this constraint of time. Mm-hmm. And time tells us that history matters and the future matters. And they, at any given point in time, somebody marketing will use that against you. They'll use that to say, hey, you need to plan for the future, buy our insurance. You need to plan for the past. Remember, you got in an accident, buy our insurance, right? So, and I just, sorry, all of my insurance friends. But but the idea,
I didn't say it.
But the idea is simple, right? There's time constraints that we learn to operate in, and it's very challenging to get into the now. And so in order to get people into that now, it's important to learn how to experience an emotion. And what we do, and we admire athletes all over the world, artists all over the world in different kinds. And one of the things that we admire so much about them, you know, once you get past the idea that maybe a basketball player is getting $1 million to miss that free throw,
or sit on the bench. I know the guys that don't even play and they're making over $1 million, but go ahead.
They're loving it. Yeah. No, they're really not, actually. But the thing that we admire really, and I think if people stop and think about it and dig in, is that they are able to get in the zone. That's what athletes call it. Dancers and, artists all over the world, whether it's a dancer, whether it's a musician, singer, they get into the zone. And the ones that can get into that zone, usually those are the ones that we admire the most. The business people that are in that zone, they get into that space and they can create just outside of themselves. Mm-hmm. And what we want to do is we want to gain that skill set. We want to gain the skill set of doing it on command. We want to be able to do it on purpose. And that skill set starts with how we utilize our emotions. So it's really simple. Let's do it right now. If you can stop for a moment, wherever you're at, just stop for a moment and think of the happiest moment you've ever experienced. That's a big task, because there might be 5 or 10, or there might just be one. But if you stop and think about it and you go, okay, what did it look like? Ask yourself right now, describe to yourself, what did it look like? Then stop and go, okay, what did I hear? Were there sounds? Were there birds? Were there cars driving by? What did I hear? Literally try to hear it, because you hear voices in your head all the time. You're not crazy. We just do. Okay, now what did you feel? Where did you feel it in your body? Literally, not hypothetically, but literally, where did you feel it? Touch that point in your body and go, I felt it right there, and feel it right there at this point. And when we start to utilize our senses that we typically observe the outside world, if we start to use our senses to observe the inside world, and now we use our past for good and our ability to be creative in the future for good, and the good is right now. Now we can take those things and very easily, and again with practice, we can actually say, hey, this is how we do it. We start to actually utilize our senses to observe inside, not outside.
Wow, that's amazing. Because when you said that, I mean, I've lived all over the world, I've done a lot of things, but when you said that, immediately, it's the day that my third grandson, we call him little G3, you know, was born, because he fought like heck to get here. you know, this kid was on a mission and he's going to be 2 in July and he's still on a mission. You know, he looks at you and he'll say, shh, and go do what he's got to go do. And it's just that day, you know, that moment, the first time I saw him, you know, at the hospital, I can see it. I can see the lights. I can smell everything. I'm sitting here going, this man he's a magician. You know, he's a magician. Now I understand the whole magic thing.
Yeah.
Wow, that was an experience. It really, really was to have.
It's amazing to do it. And it doesn't take a lot of time. It doesn't have to, you don't have to move to the Himalayas and become a monk unless you want to. But you know, like you don't have to do that. It's simpler than we have been led on to believe, and it's time for people to start learning.
So does this connect with your emotional operating system? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes,
can you
indeed.
Break that down a little bit for me?
Absolutely. Okay. I believe, just like your phone, right? I had, my wife has an iPhone. I do the Android thing. But
another reason to hang up this conversation. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
But she does the iPhone thing. And she came to me and she says, hey, you know, my phone is starting to operate a little slow. Can you fix it? And I started looking and I'm like, hey, did you know that you're completely out of memory? She's like, well, okay. So what do you want to do? And I said, well, we have to take your pictures and videos off your phone and either put them on the cloud or put them on a drive or something. She's like, well, do we have to? I said, well, you need more space to be able to get the new upgrade for your system. She's like, well, fine. So we got all of the pictures and I said, okay, now we've downloaded them. They're safe. They're on a drive. You're not going to lose them. Now we need to delete what's on your phone. She says, I don't want to.
Right.
I said, why not? She goes, well, because those are my memories. Those are the things that I love. I love being able to watch them. I love being able to see them again and flip through my pictures. And I said, you can't upgrade if you're continuing to look backwards. If you keep looking in there, now I appreciate it. And you can go pull them out of the drive anytime you want, but we have to delete them to get the upgrade. So we did, we deleted them. We did the download, we upgraded it. And I said, okay, it's all done. It's great. Here's your phone back. And she looked at it and said, I don't know how to use it. Where are my buttons? Where are all the things? Oh, and you moved my homepage around and I don't know where all my stuff is. And I said, okay, so we've got to relearn how to use it. So not only did she need space, not only did we do the upgrade, but then she had to actually learn how to use the upgrade. Now she doesn't even notice, right? It just took a little bit of time. So we are the same. We're the exact same because our phones, ironically, just like everything else in our world, were made in the likeness of mankind. Mm-hmm. And because it was made in the likeness of mankind, it operates and does the same thing that we are supposed to be doing too. We've just oftentimes lost sight of the fact that we do need an upgrade. We need upgrades. Heck, our refrigerators need upgrades, for goodness sakes. Like, we need to upgrade ourselves. And school was supposed to do that. But school got caught up in math and science and English and chemistry and physics and calculus and all this stuff. And yeah, it's important. But the most important thing, and I'll call my shot here. The most important thing is learning how to be happy. I know it's crazy because when you start to think about that, if you can upgrade your operating system, the way you physically, mentally exist in this world, how you operate means how you engage with the world around you, how you engage with the world within you. If we can upgrade that operating system, now we can actually choose to be happy because we want to be happy unconditionally, whether you do the thing for me or you don't do the thing for me, I'm going to be happy anyway. Why? Because I learned how to be happy. And when we can learn to do that, now everything's open for us because now that place to get back to the zone is right there. It's waiting for you. You can get in alignment with yourself and now you can get the good stuff to come out. And we all know that. We've all been in that place where we felt good and we started creating and we started making these things. We wrote that book. We sung that song. We created and composed a piece of choreography. You know, we shoot that best game ever. I think of like Kobe Bryant shooting 80 points in a game. Right. And it was ridiculous. I think he was 81, actually. And he was in his zone. When you asked him afterwards, what happened? He tried to tell us in the way we would understand. Well, this is, and so he went by the play-by-play. But when you really dig in and you listen to the interviews and you say what happened, he says, I just went. I wasn't thinking about it. I wasn't doing. I was just being. And I think to some extent, as humans, we all know that we want to be human beings.
Right.
Not human pasts, not human futures, but human beings. Right now, we want to be in that space. And so this upgrade of our emotional operating system, and reason it's our emotional operating system is because our emotions are a navigation system to let us know whether we're going a direction that is appropriate for what is in alignment with us. And that's amazing. Like when you think about it, it's like having your own built-in Google Maps inside, and it says, ooh, should I go hang out with those people in that dark alley behind the bar? And your emotional navigation system goes,
no.
You know, and the other one is, hey, should I go in and network with some of these people, but I'm afraid, I'm an introvert and I'm afraid to get and talk with people. And your emotional navigation system's going, yes, you're afraid, but go.
Mm-hmm.
Go do that. So we have to learn how to use it. We need continual upgrades. School didn't give it to us. So it is, it's time. It's time for our generation of humans to start focusing on that, because when we do, we'll get to better places. And when we feel good, oh my goodness, the things that people create when they feel good is amazing.
You know, I sit here and I know we got to go to break. I'm going to get yelled at if we don't go to break soon when my engineer looks at this later. But I've got to ask, because as I sit here, I have this vision of, you know, little Magic Johnson being out in the park somewhere. He's 9-10 years old and just, you know, holding class, you know, teaching this. You know, it's like, I know you've been in this business, in this career, you've been doing what you do for about 20 years. But tell me about you before that. You know, when you were 10, when you were 15, were you standing on a soapbox going, this is life? Or were you doing something entirely different?
Hindsight is amazing, because hindsight gives you some interesting clarity. When I look back at my upbringing, I was introduced to ballroom dance when I was 5. And so I started dancing at about the age of 5. And I was playing basketball at the same time, learning the discipline and the structure of being part of a team sport. But I had fell in love with dancing early on. And one of the reasons I did was because I was the toy. My mom took me because she didn't have a babysitter. And when we were at her classes, I became the toy for those people. They're like, hey, let's teach him how to cha-cha. Oh, let's teach him the waltz. It'll be fun. And look, he can do it. Oh, let's teach him some more. By the time I was 10, I knew all the dances. By the time I was 13, I was already teaching beginning classes for my mother at a studio. Wow. That she decided to create. So she was an entrepreneur. I got that entrepreneurial spirit. But what I recognize looking back is that I got addicted really early to helping people feel good. When I saw them smile because of me dancing, I was like, oh, I need more of that. And I got addicted and I started doing it more and more. I started saying, oh, well, when I get out and I perform, people clap and they're happy and they leave the room in a different state. And it became the form in which I was able not only to feel good myself, but I was able to help other people feel good through the enjoyment of watching. And as I progressed and as I got further on in my journey and learned the guts and roots of it all, I started to recognize that really it wasn't me that was making them feel good. It was in that moment they had allowed themselves to open up and they helped themselves feel good. They were using me as the catalyst, the dance performance, the singer, the basketball player. They're using that as a catalyst to feel good, to allow themselves to open up and let go so that they can actually bring themselves out. And unfortunately, people do it with alcohol and drugs and other things, and they use that as the catalyst, but they don't need it because they still have that capability. The capability still came from inside of them to be able to feel how they wanted to feel. And now I just have put myself on a mission to be able to help people learn that skill set, because everybody can learn to do it, and you don't need a catalyst. It will help, but you don't need it. And so if we can do both, oh man, the balance that we can get there is sweet, because I like an Oreo. Hey, I like to binge watch a Netflix show every now and then. So I'm not going to go and judge anybody about it. But the truth is I don't need that catalyst. I know how to do it without, but it's still fun.
Wow. Okay. See, ballroom dancer. Who saw that coming? We started by talking about basketball, and before the break, we get to ballroom dancing. Now, nice. When we come back, we got to go take a break. When we come back, we got to talk about life. What is that? We need to talk about getting people unstuck, you know, because sometimes you feel like that little robot and you just walk into the wall and nobody turns you around and you feel like you're just hitting. When do you decide it's time to push yourself in another direction? So I think we should take a break here. And when we come back, we'll tackle that. So sit right there. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back. Now, you guys know we're talking to Magic Johnson. Not that Magic Johnson. This Magic Johnson, he can shoot a three-pointer. Don't get me wrong. I don't see him blocking your shot, though, right there at the field goal. I'm just saying. We are talking to Magic Johnson. He's talking to us about how to get into our own emotions and how our emotions kind of help us navigate through our lives. So, Michael, let's talk about life, R. What is that?
Well, along the path in the Magic for Life tribe and clan, our people started calling themselves lifers. And it kind of came about because of some of my dance experience. I had a mentor once in my professional dance career, and she brought me in and she said, "You know that student of yours?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Tell me about what's going on with them." I said, "Well, they just decided to do this and that." And she goes, "Oh, they became a lifer." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" She goes, "Oh, they'll be your students for life now." And I said, "Well, how do you know?" She says, "Well, this, 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 and this. And now they're in for life." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, that's so true." And they were. And to this day, if I called them up, they're still students. They're still followers and loyal to the cause, right? And it's great. So we kind of brought that feeling and that idea. And as I looked into what a lifer was in Magic for Life, we realized that because I love frameworks. So if you don't like frameworks, if you don't like systematic approaches, then I'm not your guy. But I like systematic approaches. I like things that I can do over and over again and repeat. Because if I can't repeat it, then it was an accident. Right? But if I can repeat it now, oh man. And so when you start talking about emotions and you start thinking, gosh, you know, nobody's taught me about emotions, but I know my emotions go up and down and all over the place. How do I deal with my emotions being all over? Well, you need a systematic approach. So when you start to realize that, oh, I do things systematically, you go, oh, okay, well, maybe I believe that you can help me with my emotions that do this, like a roller coaster, right? So what I realized was that what life really represented through the time frame of our tribe starting to go, yeah, we're lifers for the win, right? Is that the L was what Socrates said ages and ages ago, learn thyself. Temet noske was the Greek or Latin term for it. Temet noske. And it just basically means you've got to get in and do some work. You got to learn who you are. You got to learn what you want. Oh my gosh, the hardest question on the planet. What do you want? It's the most difficult thing that I ask people. They tell me very clearly what they don't want all the time. But when I ask, what do you want? They go, I don't want that. I'm like, I don't care. What do you want? So, you know, learn thyself. I is for imagine the possibilities. In so many instances, I've been privileged to work with young athletes and young dancers working up through to their professional career as well. And their parents would get a little frustrated with me because I'd always create hope. I'd always create this idea that they could win. Why? Because we needed to imagine the possibilities. They needed to be able to create the possibility of them succeeding at what they were going to do even if it meant they were going to get their heart broken, because they needed to have the ability to create the vision. And if they didn't, they were most surely going to fail. Uh-huh. And that's huge, right? You got to be able to see it. So we have to imagine the possibilities. Then we want to free our mind. That's the F in lifer. We want to free our mind. And this is hard. I loved it from the one of the Avengers movies. I think it was Doctor Strange. And he came in, and when he was on his journey, his mentor said, free your mind. Free your mind. You've got to free your mind. You've got to get out of your own way, because the things that you think you know are not accurate. Why? Because there's always three sides to a story. Your side, their side, and the truth. Mm-hmm. And wow, is it hard to find the truth, because you've got to gain more perspectives. And in order to do that, you have to free your mind. You have to open up your mind to new possibilities. And that is where most of these successful people on the planet are. They have freed their mind. They've opened up the possibilities. They've learned who they are and how to operate based off of who they are from the inside out. And at that point, we start the E, which is one of my favorite parts, which is engage your soul. Engage your soul. I was a Star Trek fan growing up, and I always loved all of Captain Picard. Always, you know, anytime they went somewhere, engage. Right? There's fun videos on YouTube of him saying engage over and over again. And I love it, because it just reminds me that, hey, if we're going to do something, whatever it is, if I'm going to get ice cream, engage your soul. If I'm going on vacation, engage your soul. If I'm going to clean the bathroom, engage your soul. And that sounds crazy, but the other day, my sewer backed up from the whole entire neighborhood, and I was the first house to notice it, because I found it and I smelt it in my basement. And I'm down there with my daughter, and we're scooping up, getting it out of the house so that it wouldn't flood our basement. We warned the neighborhood. They came and saved the day. The city came and saved the day. It was great. But during that time, my daughter was crying, sitting there with me, helping me. She was so cute. She was sitting there crying, Dad, is everything going to be okay? Is our house going to be flooded? Is it all going to be ruined? Is all our stuff going to go away? And I said, you know what? There's some really good things. Let's sit here as we scoop the poop. Let's sit here and find the good things. And essentially what we were doing was we were engaging our soul, and we made the best day of it. And she will remember it forever. And I will too. It was great.
That's amazing.
Scooping the poop, right?
And
that was it. And that leads right to the R, which I capitalize every time I write lifer, because the R stands for two things. We want to represent our experience. That's a huge piece. We've got to learn to represent our experiences so that we can feel the way we want to feel, not the way somebody else tells us we should, but the way we want to feel. So we have to learn to represent our experience, and we have to learn to re-present our experience. We have to learn to live in the now, which is why I wrote a whole book called Every Minute, right? And it's about being in the now. We have to re-present ourselves. We have to constantly fight the fears from the past and the concerns about the future, and we have to re-present ourselves into the moment, because this is really what it's all about. It's all about right now, my moment, my time with little magic here, right? And I want to be in this moment to the best of my ability, and the past doesn't matter and the future doesn't exist. So right now is the most important thing. And that's what the R stands for. It's super powerful. And what a cool framework.
And I think you just answered the other question too. Before we went to break, I was saying people are stuck. You know, they're asking, how do we get unstuck? And I think you just answered that. If they just play it back, you know, rewind about 4 minutes, play it again, rewind, play it again, because this man just answered that. He just told you how to get unstuck. And basically what I tell people all the time is the hardest door to get through is your own door. Indeed. And right now he's talking about your emotional door. And that is truly the hardest door to get through when you initially start. But something tells me about hanging out with Magic Johnson here, that becomes simpler and simpler, and you get to understand how to do this. So let's back up a little bit before we go forward, before we tell them how to get your book and that you got an event coming up and all of that. Let's go back to NLP.
Oh yeah.
Let's go back to neuro-linguistic programming, and some people love it, Some people have a problem with it, you know, but at the core of it, you truly studied it. You didn't just hear about it in a book or see somebody on stage and go, yes, like, you know, most of us, maybe me. You actually said, what's this all about? What made you decide to dig into that? And is it real?
Yeah. Unfortunately, it was pain. It doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to make changes in our life because we're in major pain. There are other ways. But for many of us, we have learned that when we're in pain, we start to do something. We start to ponder. When we're in pleasure, we start to party. And so we do that. Well, I was about 3 years into my professional ballroom career. I was on the circuit. I was dancing. I was living the dream, right? I had rose through the ranks and was doing what I thought was my destiny. And it really was horrible. I wasn't making any finals. We weren't getting any callbacks. We were sucking it up. Now, this is coming from having been a champion before as an amateur, having won plenty of titles, having been in the limelight and being the one. And I go pro, and now here I am 3 years into it, and we were making zero headway.
Wow.
So this book fell out. As I was walking through the bookstore, picked it up, this large man with a very large grin. And I said, I better hide around the corner so that nobody sees me in self-help section, right? Because I don't need any, I'm fine. I don't need any help. I'm not broken or anything, you know? So I hid around the corner so nobody would see me. And I read the first page, and then I read the first chapter, and then my friends are looking for me, trying to find me. And so I snuck it behind my back and bought it and walked out the store, and my personal development journey began, because I wanted to find a way. I knew I was a good dancer. I knew I had talent. I knew there was stuff inside of me that had yet to come out, and I just had to figure out how to get it out. And I didn't know how. And so I dug in, found some really amazing mentors, found their mentors, because I kind of do that. I love to dig back into the core of things and where it came from. And so I learned from my first mentor and said, hey, he had to learn from somebody else. So I dug back in and went to his mentors and said, okay, I'm going to learn from them. And they happened to be the creators of NLP back in 76. And I learned from one of their trainers and got certified, because they said that was what I should do. I just wanted to get better at dancing. I just wanted to make the final, and then I just wanted to win. I didn't care about the certifications, but they're like, you know, it's probably, you're going to do the work anyway. We might as well give you a certification. Okay, so you should work with people. I work with people? What are you talking about? I just want to dance. But they insisted, so I did. I got my certifications, and I dug into the roots of how we work. NLP is interesting. It's oftentimes misunderstood. It's oftentimes used maybe in not so legitimate ways. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason that some people don't like it is because they actually innately know the power of it. And the power of NLP is not that it is some magical thing. It is that it was created off of modeling the greats. So it is a conglomeration of things that were done by the great therapists, psychologists, family therapists, hypnosis, right? These were all the people that they modeled, and they took the things that were in common, and they figured out the trends and said, hey, here's a process. This was in common across the board of all these people that did these things and had this success. And so we're going to create a systemized framework for you to do this and repeat it over and over again. And that became NLP. So NLP's roots were modeling. It was all about modeling what was successful. Then it dug in a little deeper, and because it had roots from hypnosis and psychology and therapy and all these other things, because it had those roots, they started to realize that there were processes and systems and operating systems that we used over and over again, and that we could actually repeat that systematically on purpose and get a result. Now, that's powerful, but it isn't anything that man and human doesn't do already. It was just bringing out those things from the successful people that had already done it. And it was more powerful because it was a group of successful people that were doing it. So it wasn't one person saying, this is the way. It was these two guys, Richard Bandler and John Grinder, and they went and they said, how do you all do that? Okay, great. What's in common? Okay, great. How can we make a system out of all of those things?
And that's what NLP was born out of. So really nowadays there are people in NLP that are amazing at what they do because they've taken their thing and they've actually taken the systems and processes and created their own systems and processes based on the concept of NLP, which is based off of the concept of the greatness of mankind, which is really cool. And so there are healers and there are people that actually help the mind. There are people that help business. There are people that help athletes. And they've used it in so many different ways that you can see that it has roots in all sorts of stuff. So really NLP was sort of just a beginning, a bouncing off point for so many people to really bring out their superpowers.
And you to bring the magic.
And me to bring the magic. That's right.
Now, I love your smiley face, but there's another smiley face on the shelf behind you. Tell me about that smiley face.
That's a book I just wrote. It's only about a year old. And it's called Every Minute. Really, we wanted to dig in and focus on the emotional mastery secrets. We call it emotional mastery secrets for the dance of life. And that's obviously because of my dance route. As you can see, my little dancer. That's actually one of my students. We turned them into a sculpture. It was really
so cool.
But we wanted to be able to say, hey, listen, this dance of life has its ups and downs. It has all these emotions. Can we teach you how to do them? And people look at me and they go, do them? And I said, yeah, your emotions, they're not happening to you. You are actually doing them. And it brings upon this ridiculous responsibility that some people aren't ready for. So I'm sorry for those of you that just heard it. You can't turn back now. You do your emotions. You do your emotions. Let me say it one more time. You do your emotions. And because you do them, that means you are response able. You are able to respond to the things around you. And that means that if you feel like crap, it's your fault. Sorry about that. If you feel sad, it's your fault. Sorry about that. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't feel sad. All of the emotions are there for us, just like an ice cream shop. All of the flavors are there. You can have any one you want. You can experience any one you want. And there may be completely and utterly appropriate times for you to experience all of them. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be in control. It means you should be in control. And you should learn how to do them. And hopefully you don't shit all over yourself while you're working to actually learn how to do these emotions, right? So it's a skill set. And so that's what that book is about, that learning of the emotional mastery so that you can live in the moment, live every minute.
I have to write this down right now. All over yourself.
I
need to remember that later. That is absolutely amazing. Okay, I'm asking him. Give me a minute. I'm asking him. How do they find you? Who can find you? Who are you looking for? Who should be looking for you? And how do they get your book?
Well, easy. You can go to, if it's up right now, I believe it is, everyminutebook.com. And you can get a copy there. It's easy. You can also find it on Amazon. So if you want to go to Amazon, cool. If you want to go to everyminutebook.com, we give away some free bonuses if you get it through us instead of going through Amazon. So that's kind of cool. If you want to find us, we have a cool event that we do called the Feel Good Challenge. It's simple. It says exactly what it is. You want to feel good? You might feel good in your family life. You might feel good in your spiritual life, but you might feel crappy at work. Let's take care of it, right? And vice versa. If you don't feel good anytime during your week, you can fix it. You don't have to live with it. Feeling okay is not acceptable. It is not the status quo. Being okay or feeling crappy anytime is not okay. It's not okay anymore. We are in the 21st century and there are plenty of skills for you to learn. There are plenty of things for you to learn, and we teach it in the Feel Good Challenge. The Feel Good Challenge is a 21-day challenge where we get in and we learn the skill set of feeling good so that you can learn to feel good on purpose, on demand, and from the inside out. And this is huge, right? Those three things, on demand, on purpose, inside out. If you can learn those three things, and that's a big claim. If you can learn those three things in 21 days, I guarantee you your life will never be the same again. And you will be on the way to leveling up your world, whether it's in business, spiritually, whether it's with your relationship or your kids. It doesn't matter. When you feel good, you can do amazing things. So you can go over to takethefeelgoodchallenge.com. It's easy. Takethefeelgoodchallenge.com. And you can sign up if there's space left and if it's on and live. So, our next one's coming up soon. So you should go and register for it. It's amazing. It's, you know, I love talking to entrepreneurs. They're my people.
Right.
I love entrepreneurs because all you entrepreneurs are out there changing the world. You guys are out there on the leading edge of changing the world, and you are going to talk to so many people. And if you can feel good, the things you will create are amazing. So if I can talk to an entrepreneur, I love it. I love being able to do that. But that doesn't mean I don't want to talk to you. If you're not an entrepreneur, it's okay. Come take the challenge. You're going to love it. You're going to find some things about yourself that you didn't know.
Okay, we put it across the bottom third so people could see it, but there may be somebody out there listening on iHeart or Amazon Music. So let's give them the website one more time.
Takethefeelgoodchallenge.com. Yep, just like it sounds, takethefeelgoodchallenge.com. No words hard to spell. Awesome. And
that is awesome. So I know I got to let you get out of the hot seat. You're a busy, busy guy, and I want to thank you for being on the show. But what's coming up next for you? What's next? What's on the horizon, Magic? What's coming? Let's go.
Oh, man. Well, the next big thing right now is the Feel Good Challenge. We're putting all of our effort into that, and it's going to be a great time. But right after that, we dig right into our next epic adventure, which, if you want to hear about it, you're going to have to go take the challenge because it'll be the only people we're telling about it. So, the next big adventure, we got a cool, cool event coming up right afterwards. And I can't wait for everybody to hear about it. But it's exclusively for those that have already stepped up and said, hey, I want to feel better and I'm done living a mediocre life.
I want to thank you. I think it's amazing. Every time I talk to you, I go, yeah, wait a minute. Right. That's what I'm thinking right now. You really are magical at times. You know, I know that you and I will be talking. I've got to have you come back on. Maybe we do a live stream Q&A down the road here. Awesome. And just answer some questions. But you are my buddy now. I've already told you I'm coming to Thanksgiving dinner. I don't care.
Yes. Yes.
And, I've always wanted to hang out with Magic Johnson, and now I can.
Now you can. And maybe together we'll get Magic Johnson, the original, to hang out with us.
Ooh, now that would be fun. Magic,
that's a call out.
Magic,
let's go. I've always wanted to meet you.
I love it. You, sir, are amazing.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate being on the show, and thank you so much for what you're doing for the world. You are something else. You're amazing.
All right, thank you. Hey, everybody, I hope you enjoyed this episode. You know how we do. We try to bring those unique individuals that are answering the questions that make you go, Tego, how did you know that's where I was today? Because I've been there, I am there, and I'm coming back around to there. This is called growing, and we do it all the time. So I hope you enjoyed the episode. I hope you come back for the next one. And as always, I'm Tego, and I'll talk to you next time.